This is a time that, in as much as when we take the bread, His body took the stripes, and we get the healing. So if you want a healing, and this place is the place to ask as we partake of that bread. You got sins? You don't even have to answer that. I know. I know mankind. That's what the wine is for, is to wash away sins. He took that place for us. So without further ado, I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was 100 years old before his first son by Sarah. She was 90. And it was a blessed child. And then God, wanting to see if Abraham was obedient, told him, you take that boy and go to a mountain I'm going to show you, and it happened to be Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And naturally, this was a prelude to God Himself offering His son. I mean, Abraham had been promised that all the world would be blessed through his seed, and here God all of a sudden says, sacrifice him. I suppose that Abraham knew that and trusted God to the point that he knew God would raise the boy right up and we'd have Messiah. I feel he really knew that. He was very obedient to God. So let's pick it up, if we may, in the 11th verse of Genesis 22, and it reads, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I, always obedient. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." And this word in the Hebrew means that you reverest me, you love me. And seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Your father didn't withhold his only begotten son from us, so he could cut it. He did it. He was able. And the thing that made him able was that he was perfect, and we're not. And God knew that probably we'd never make that point except through him. Verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Then what did he do? "And Abraham called the name of that place," I'm going to correct it, "Yahweh Jireh." Yahweh Jireh, which, and as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Yahweh Jireh means God provides. You've got to believe that, my friends. Yahweh provides. He will take care of you. And this communion that we take today is God providing you that healing, that forgiveness, that washing. He does that. He provides. That's what it's all about. 15, "And the angel of the Lord," and when we speak of the angel of the Lord, it is the Lord's presence himself, okay? I said presence. "Called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord." You can't swear by any higher. "For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." And you know, you can mark that peoples, the peoples that worship, that have that freedom, that have always maintained that freedom. At a price, yes, but God blesses those. We were, against my better judgment, You know, anytime you take 12,000 men and put 320,000 men around them, you can't leave God out of that equation that we beat the rat. We came out. You know, you get a bunch of country boys away from home, they know the way back anyway. It was tough. I'm not making light of it. I guarantee you it was tough. But God was in the equation. And He provides. He provided a way. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. It is no coincidence that the superpower of superpowers in this end times is the Christian nation. A lot of people would argue with that. Go ahead. But basically it is. It was founded that way. The law is taken from the Constitution, basically taken from this Word of God. Why wouldn't God bless? Anyway, enough on that. God would allow and spare Abraham's son, but he did not his own. Psalms 22, please. As Jesus was on the cross, delivered up, innocent, even Pontius Pilate had said, I wash my hands of this innocent man's blood. But the Kenite would hold in the background saying, crucify him, demanding it. Well, he was the sacrifice for that day. And as he was on that cross, I feel he quoted, and there's only one thing we can do on Passover, basically. Well, there's lots, but I cannot resist Psalms 22. Because I think he quoted the entire psalm because of the final line in the Hebrew is the equivalent in the Greek, it is finished. And he gave up the spirit. But as he was on that cross, he began by saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How could Emmanuel forsake himself? That's not possible, okay? No, he was quoting the patriarch David to call your attention, if you're a learned person from Father's Word, to Psalms 22. And in quoting David, it is written 1,000 years before the fact for those that would doubt that God's word is true, even down to the Roman soldiers gambling for his clothing. That can't happen, friend. Man can't arrange that. He'd mess something up. But it all came to pass as it's written. Psalms 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? This was David's cry. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. Excuse me. And in the night season, and am not silent. Are you silent when you're in hurt? Let Father know. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. At the same time you're hurting, know that statement is true. Give him that credit and that love. He hears you. He knows. He understands. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. God will always show you a way out. He will never allow more to happen to you than you're capable of overcoming. That's documented in the great book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I believe it is. He said, there's nothing that's going to happen to you that isn't common to everyone. So work it out with him. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. They weren't confused. Neither will you be confused even in this end generation if you pay attention to him, if you pay attention to what is written. But I am a worm, David says, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And you know, usually a very good person is despised by those that bring curses upon themselves. they're not blessed. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, and this is one of the things that proves God's word is true, because these words were spoken and they are recorded. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Those were slammed at him as he was paying that price for you, because he was perfect, sinless, innocent. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst to make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. God gives you that hope. I hope you all take advantage of it, because it is a comfort to know you're not alone. I don't care how bad it gets. You're not alone. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Why was there none to help? They all ran. They all left except John, and Jesus had sent him home with his mother, Jesus' mother, to see that she was protected. He was alone. You're not going to do that. The church, the assembly, is going to stand at that day when falsehoods are rampant by the teachings of the mouth of the destroyer. Verse 12, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They were known for those huge animals. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. Against him what? Crucify him! A mob is a terrible thing. A mob is a group of people without discipline. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Why were his bones out of joint? His arms were pulled from socket as he was crucified, nailed to that, and hanging upon that cross. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, like an old piece of dry pottery. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. And it was so. God did not come to help himself. He paid that price. Do you know who for? You. You. Why? You're his child. He doesn't want you deceived. He doesn't want you chasing some dragon tail. He wants you kicking it. Okay? He doesn't want you in any camp but his own. For dogs, that's to say enemies, have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, nailed to the cross. And as the licks of that hammer would ring through Mount Golgotha, Satan was sealing his own death warrant. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. There's no other way that, my friend, that this prophecy could have come to pass as those Romans gambled for his clothing, except God was in control of everything that happened on the day of crucifixion. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. He was. 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. The word darling is the same word translated soul in this verse and should read so. 21, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. The Hebrew is wild ox. There's no such thing as a unicorn. That's a myth. 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You can read this same verse in Hebrews chapter 2, where it relates to you why Christ came to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, to die for you. You see, our Father loves us very much. He won't ask you to do something He will not and has not done Himself, okay? He can cut it. I guess the question is He wants to know if we can. And I tell you, we can. You can always make another hill. Don't ever kid yourself. Don't give up. Go for it. Let the seeds be planted in that congregation. And be bold in doing so, not making a fool of yourself, of course, but with dignity. Verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. That's what He wants. He wants your love. More than anything you have, He wants your love. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him, love Him, all ye the seed of Israel. 24, for He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him. But when he cried unto Him, He heard. Do you know, all prayers are sealed in heaven. They're there. God knows about them. All right? From His children, that is to say, those that are obedient. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. What is that great congregation? It's God's children when they're home with Him. That's what He looks forward to when He's got His family back together and rid of those that would not love Him openly, willingly, and wantingly from within their own soul. 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. That is to say, your intellect will, your soul will live forever. It's your spirit, really. That's a promise of eternal life. And He asked for so little in return. Your love, your trust. And the fact that, do you know what? It warms His heart. It makes His day. He longs for it. And that's why He blesses an assembly that simply lets go and lets God. And yet at the same time, are trustworthy servants. Do you know what a servant does? They work. Doing God's work. It is written. The instructions for the plan of the day. 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Every knee shall bow. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. You want to know who's in charge? It's amazing to me that some people, I guess it shows they doubt God, they exist. Because he keeps notes. He keeps records. He's got the book. So you don't get away with anything. So it's best to love Him. And, well, I can't be perfect. Shoot, I know that. Shoot, He does too. That's why He paid that price. Is so that when you repent, you've got a clean sheet. You've got a clean way to go. He's in charge. And boy, I wouldn't want it for anyone else. I would not wish that anyone else was in charge, because His judgment is sure and true. You get everything you got coming to you. And you know, don't be one of those Christians with a bleeding, a guilty conscience. If you repented, it's gone. Forget it. Don't be guilty about it. Forget it. Otherwise, His trip to the cross would be for naught in your case. You'd be doubting Him. You'd be like old Thomas, okay? It's gone. And don't say I'm giving you license through teaching to do it all over again either. You may do it, but don't do it with that in mind, or you're in for the fact that He has the record book and you get everything you got coming to you in one day, yours would be a bunch, okay? All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. You can't work out your own salvation. He worked it out for you on the cross. There is no other way. There is no Tower of Babel. That's Babylon. Crawl down from the thing. Come out of her. Come into truth and peace of mind, contentment, and love your Father. He thought of you when he stated these last two verses on the cross. A seed shall serve him. Serve means work at it. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Do you know what generation that is? It's the generation of the fig tree. It began in the year of our Lord, 1948. Verse 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this, or the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek, it is finished, as it is written in John 19:30, his last words on the cross. It is finished. He was led up there, and he did not whimper. He didn't complain. He didn't say, well, maybe we should put this off till tomorrow. And at his trial, he kept silent. Thou sayest. He didn't make any declaration. He didn't have to. It was written all over him. Psalms 22 identified him. Psalms 22 strengthens the word of God 1,000 years before the fact that he hath done this for you. May the ushers begin moving forward at this time, please. Never a complaint. At Shepherd's Chapel, we take communion together as a family. Never let a man prohibit you from taking communion. It is not the fact that you've got to be perfect to take it, or none of us would ever partake. You got that? The fact is, do you believe Christ was worthy to pay the price for you? If you don't believe that, you don't have any business here. It's that simple. I'm just being honest with you. So you are free to take communion here, and I would never go into a house that they would prohibit me, because man does not have that right. He didn't pay the price. Christ paid the price. So we all partake of it at the same time. You will be delivered the bread. Hold it, and we will take it all at the same time. And then you will be delivered the cup. In the center of each tray, because some people have medical problems, there are 8 cups of grape juice. On the outer line, there is pure wine. Why was Christ's first miracle producing wine from water? Because it is symbolic of his pure blood. Fermentation throws off all dregs from your life. All trash goes to the top and is skimmed away from your life. So it is your choice. But our Father loves you. This is what he placed for you to participate in. If you have a loved one that is ill and you wish to take communion for them in proxy, that is your right. God will honor that. So feel free to partake and do it joyfully. And yet at the same time, how could your mind be far away from the cross? That he did this for you. He made it possible that your sins can be washed away. Do you need a healing and an anointing? This is the highest anointing there is. It's the body and the blood of your Savior. So as we come to partake of this, Kathy, are you on stage? Would you come forth, please? I'm going to ask Kathy to do the Lord's Prayer. I will pray at this moment and Kathy will begin. Father, as we come to partake of this solemn assembly at this time, Father, for healing and for forgiveness and cleansing, Father, we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Kathy, please. Thank you, Kathy. And remember, it was his body that received the stripes. He didn't complain so that you could have a healing. Believe that, and it is so. He loves you that much. He did that for you. My advice is this. Before you pray for a healing for your flesh body, pray for a healing for your spiritual body. For until the spiritual body is well, the flesh will not be healed. He is able, but be obedient as was Abraham and do it his way. And he will touch you. He loves you. Believe and be healed. The body of Christ. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, as we come at this time to partake of this sacrament, the body of thy Son, again, he that took the stripes and we that received the healing, we ask that thy loving mercy come down upon this assembly, Father. Touch even now. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take it and eat all of it." Oh, Heavenly Father. Thank you indeed, Father. Father, you are so good to us. You bless us in such a way, Father. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Let it be. Now, in his name, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Soon after, Jesus took the cup, and he blessed it, and he said, "This is my blood that is shed for many. Take ye and drink ye all of it." Oh, Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being your servant. Father, on this occasion, let these prayers be answered, Father. In Yeshua precious name, and in the name of the Holy Ruach, Father, let it be so. In Jesus' precious name, amen.